Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to get you ready for the NHL playoffs is Jared Hochman, publishing editor for Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at JL Hawk. That's H-O-C-H. Jared, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's good to be here. I think last time we were talking March Madness, and now we're going to go with a little bit different postseason, a little bit colder too, talking about hockey. It's been a pretty wacky season. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. I think we can really dive into here.
And I saw that the schedules are out for a lot of the playoff games. We still have a few series that are to be determined. We're recording this on Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So just framing that, because we're not going to be able to talk about all of the games, but what we are going to do is get you ready for betting the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we're going to talk about everything from betting hockey to futures prices, to series prices, to things to look out for and everything in between. And I'm super excited because I'm from Pittsburgh and I live in Chicago. So I'm a diehard Penguins fan. And the Stanley Cup playoffs to me are the pinnacle of sports playoffs, because the Stanley Cup, I believe, is the hardest trophy to win in all of sports. It is something that is excruciating for both the players as well as the fans, because you got to win 16 times. There's overtime, there's puck luck, there's game seven. And it's one of those things where I almost get nervous talking about it, because when you've experienced it before, it's just such a finality in such a unique way that no other sport brings to the table.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's also the factor of it's the maybe the most physical game that they play, you know, every other night. I mean, football's once a week. Basketball is not quite as like heavy hitting. And I mean, baseball is baseball. But the thing about hockey, especially playoff hockey, that I love or I hate, is it's always that feeling of like sort of dread kind of coming up. I mean, it's such a fast paced game that if you blink, you might miss, you know, the game deciding goal or a crucial play. You know, you watch football, you watch baseball, basketball, you can see the plays develop and you see it coming slow, but hockey, it happens just like that. And you're just on the edge of your seat for 2.5 hours as they're flying up and down the ice.
It's such a unique experience because you have to kill penalties or a 5-on-3 can happen. You can be sitting on a 1-goal lead. So no other sport in the biggest time of the year during the playoffs are they like, by the way, you no longer have your running back, your wide receiver, he's also out now, and you're trying to come back or tie the game or any of those different things. And the goalie gets pulled and it's just utter chaos. And that's what makes it such a beautiful sport and a beautiful playoffs, because you have to earn every second of it. So this year was certainly a unique year because of the way that the divisions were formatted, where the teams were playing the same teams like 8 to 10 different times. So they're very familiar with each other. So this year it's unique because we're going to be having matchups that have already seen each other 8+ times. How do you think that's going to factor in to who we see making it through the playoffs? Because in years past, we might have some different matchups based on where people are coming from different divisions.
Yeah, Rob. So I think the big thing is there's so much more data to go based off of this year. You know, we said they're playing each other, you know, 8-9 times. And trends really start to form. I mean, I like to look back at, say, when Columbus upset Tampa, was it 2 years ago? Like, just beat them in that format. You know, you don't see them play as much. You might be surprised, or, you know, they caught Tampa off guard with a play stop. There's no secrets between any of these teams now. They know what you want to do. They know how you do it. And so, you know, when we're looking at some of these prices, there's a lot of things we're like, okay, this is what's happened during the season. This is what's happened, you know, most of the time in these 8-9 games they've played. So you can probably translate that somewhat into the playoffs and looking how it's going. Of course, like you said, there's always puck luck. You know, injuries will always play a big part, you know, who's peaking, who's not. But I think we're really, you know, like I said, there's no secrets involved here. And then to further that, because it's been such a divisional oriented schedule, we've had so many 1-goal games this year. It's actually been a 1-goal game 43.4% of the time. And that's the highest percentage the NHL has had since the 2016-2017 season. And then compare that to like the playoffs last 5 years, it ratchets up even more when they, you know, they play one goal games about 47% of the time. So if you're looking at it from a betting standpoint, you know, I think you almost kind of have to throw those puck lines out the window a little bit here. I mean, you're not expecting a whole lot of loads. You can't really count on the extra empty net goals and then attacking on those goals at the end. So I think we're just going to see a lot of like bad blood, a lot of really close, tight-knit games. And I think we're just really going to see everything. There's no secrets and there's going to be no surprises for anyone, at least through the first two rounds.
So I'm going to give some stats which come from you, from covers.com, on the season as a whole. So straight up this year, favorites hit at 62.5% clip. At the same time, home favorites hit 64% straight up. But if we're going to be looking against the spread, dogs 62.9% on the season, away dogs 60%, and home dogs 65%. Why are we saying that? Because those are some huge numbers right there. And I'm curious your thoughts on, as we look at the playoffs, I think the Columbus example is one that I'll never forget, because I remember watching the ticker and the Lightning were up like multiple goals in the first period. And I'm like, this series already over. Like they're the best regular season team we've ever seen. Next thing you know, they go and get swept. And the NHL is so unique because unlike other leagues like the NBA, where you're not really going to see an 8-1, the NHL, that seems like it's wide open. Do you expect that we're going to see more value on underdogs this year, or is it going to be a little bit different because of how familiar these teams are with each other?
Well, I actually think because of that familiarity, we will actually get good value on some of these dogs. I mean, you know, you're looking at some of these 2-3 matchups. You know, you've got Florida and Tampa in the Central, and Florida's the 2 seed, but they're the dog. Same with Washington and Boston. Washington is the 2 seed, but they're the dog. And let's be honest, I mean, those are coin flips. I mean, both of those, you know, those four teams are all so evenly matched and they're so talented all across the roster that I think, you know, if you, I can't blame you for going on either way, but if you want to, you know, look for the value, you're definitely going in the right place, especially when you put out the fact that, you know, you've got these dogs that are covering the spread. So, you know, they are having close games. And when you're in a one goal game, any kind of tip, any bounce, you know, a missed edge can be the difference between a win and a loss or sending this game on. So when we're looking at these, you know, these matchups, they know each other. Yes. But because they know each other so well and everything's so close, there's very few series, at least again, in the first round, where there's big spreads separating them. I mean, really, it's just Toronto and Carolina are big favorites. And I'm assuming the two teams in the West will probably be, depending on how those matches play up. But other than that, you're looking at most of these series are really going to be pretty close, and getting plus money on like a good team is a pretty nice thing to have.
So before we get into the individual series, I'm curious about how you're seeing value from a what we're going to bet on standpoint. So we've got series price options. You've got prices to win the Stanley Cup. You've got games played in a series, so you can get an over under depending on which team you think is going to win. You've got exact outcome on a series. You got Conn Smythe winner. A lot of these to me seem like a sucker bet on trying to guess how many games a team is going to win by on an exact nature. To me, that just seems like you want to get too cute with it of, oh, let me go ahead and guess this. I'm curious, are you going to be playing series prices, some of these other futures type bets, or do you find that there's more value on the game by game basis or even in the live betting line?
So I think the game by game basis is probably the best way to go. I mean, you know, like I said, so much can change in hockey. And like you said, it is a grind. You got to win 16 games across like a month or two and guys get hurt. Things happen. So, you know, when you start picking, oh, I'm picking so-and-so to win the cup. I mean, you really are putting yourself out on a limb there. I mean, the payoff's not bad, but you know, let's be honest. You want to look at Colorado or Vegas or even Carolina. They're not even 7-1 right now. So, you know, like you're not getting the full payoff for a really tough thing. Series prices, I don't mind. I like, especially if you're getting some good value and you like a team, like, you know, maybe a Florida at plus money, or maybe, you know, the Capitals at plus money. If you like that, you can play that one. These exact natures, I'm not a fan of that, but I am a fan of looking at some of the games in the series thing. So for example, you know, you look at Carolina, Nashville, I think you can get that to be under 5.5 games. And that's at plus money. So it's not unreasonable to think Carolina can win that 4-1. You don't need an exact nature. Carolina could sweep them. So, you know, you can find a little bit of value there, because I think Carolina is also like plus 240 to win the series. So there's really no value there. So if you want to do that, that's a way to kind of beef up some of these big favorites. The other one I'm looking at in a couple places is like a series double. So a team to win the first game and then maybe to win the series, or the other team to win the series. I didn't go into that some more, but like, say, again, I look at Florida, you know, the Lightning have a fair amount of injuries that they're kind of, and they're kind of coming into the start of the playoffs. And you're not sure what they're going to be and what some of these key players are going to be with Stamkos and Kucherov and Hedman. So maybe you like Florida to jump on them and get that first game, but maybe you think Tampa is going to pull it together and they're going to win the series in the end and move on. So if you want to take a series double with Florida winning game one and then Tampa winning the series, that's at like plus 350, 360 right now. And that, you know, that's a very reasonable proposition, something that could definitely happen. You know, so if you want to kind of just try to spice up some of these series bets without going to a full exact nature, those are kind of some of the ways I'm looking to go.
I like the way that you're thinking about this, because we're always looking for unique opportunities to be able to bet on the pre-series favorites, but all of a sudden, so for example, I'm looking right now, the Lightning are minus 143, the Panthers are plus 116. Carolina takes that first game, boom, that's going to switch right there. But we as sports fans know that's just one game, and this is in Florida, so it's not out of the question to be like, yeah, the Panthers could win this game, and oh, by the way, they are good, and oh, by the way, Stamkos and Kucherov are coming back, but there is a little bit of rust that could be there right now. I like that theory. The Lightning are a team to me of the, let's call it favorites, air quotes, in the top four or six that would present the most amount of value to me, because one, they've done it before, and two, they've got great goaltending, and you're not paying number one price. You're paying fourth or fifth best team price. Not that I'm recommending that you want to go and lay a futures bet on Tampa, but to me, they're one of the most attractive teams because of their upside of they can certainly win it all, because literally every year you watch Tampa, you're like, this team's incredible.
Yeah. And I mean, let's think about it. They finished third, technically in a division, but they said they have the fifth best odds to win the cup. So, you know, odds makers still give them the respect that you just mentioned. I mean, they've been there before. And even with, you know, again, Nikita Kucherov, this guy had about 35 points in 24 playoff games last year, one of probably the five most dynamic forwards in hockey. And he's been out all season. You know, they knew he was coming back. He set up with this hip surgery. Stamkos has missed, you know, the last 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks. He's been out a while. Victor Hedman, who's arguably the Norris Trophy winner or Norris Trophy candidate, he's been banged up a little bit. Yet they still look like a very good team. You know, their possession metrics check out, the penalty kill and the power play still look good. Like, they have all those pieces that you want for a Stanley Cup contender. And then you look at, oh yeah, they're the defending champs. So they know what it takes to get there, and they've been there before and they've done it already. So it's hard not to like them, and it's hard not to, you know, be attracted at them and for that team to do it. And then you add in the fact that they do have the best goalie in the world, and Andrei Vasilevsky, who is, again, it's just been outstanding all season, and all the ingredients are there. And there's very few teams that, when healthy, really can stack up with Tampa from a depth and a talent in every aspect of the roster standpoint.
So one team that I think is an extremely shiny object is the Edmonton Oilers, because of Connor McDavid. And this is a team that has not won a playoff series since 2017. And you look at this matchup, the Oilers are minus 186 in the series, Jets plus 150. The Oilers won the regular season series 7-2. The Jets just 2-8 their last 10. And you would see every reason why people would be attracted to Edmonton, but there's just something about me that says I'm not ready to completely believe that Edmonton's ready to make a run. Maybe the first series is something different, but I'm not ready to take them to go win the cup.
Yeah. And I just think you have to look back at last season, and you know, they were the 5 seed against the Blackhawks, or the 12 seed in that like initial play-in round. And then the Blackhawks upset them. And that's because, you know, you look at McDavid is otherworldly. He's in his own class. I mean, he got over 100 points this year, and he's had multi-point gains in 12 of his last 13, which is just mind-blowing. What's there beside him and Leon Draisaitl? I mean, it's a really sharp decline from, you know, those top two guys to the rest of the team. Whereas, you know, you look at the Jets have a little bit more balance. You've got Wheeler, you've got Shifley, you know, you got Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor. They've really suffered from losing Nikolai Ehlers, though. And as you said, it's just kind of fallen off a cliff. I mean, they can't get out of their own way. They've lost a bunch of games. They barely hung on to stay ahead of Montreal for that third spot. And, you know, I do think that Edmonton wins this series. I just think when you just look at form, you know, how bad the Jets are playing, and the Jets' biggest weapon is, you know, they have the goal thing and the advantage with Connor Hellebuck. But Edmonton has owned him this year. I think he's got like an 877 save percentage against the Oilers, and his goals against average is a full goal higher against Edmonton than every other team. It's just a bad matchup for the Jets. So I think, you know, McDavid alone can do enough damage to get through this series. But I still think the North Division as a whole still runs through Toronto. And I don't think any of those teams can compare to, you know, the East Division or the top teams in the West or those teams in the Central.
You mentioned goaltending. I want to talk about that for a second because I'm looking at some ESPN rankings right now, and it has Edmonton 15 out of 16 in terms of goalie rankings, only worse than them, the Washington Capitals. On the flip side of the top, we've got Vegas with Marc-Andre Fleury, Tampa with Vasilevsky, and then the Islanders with Varlamov. And I'm curious your thoughts. The casual fan would look at something like this, and we know in hockey, a goaltender can stand on his head and win a series or multiple series and or the cup. And I remember Yaroslav Halak on the Canadiens, where he just steamrolled through the Eastern Conference, and you'd watch it and you're like, this guy is significantly better than anybody on the ice. The casual fan might say, well, why don't I just bet the teams who have the better goalies? What are your thoughts on that strategy? Because it's a natural thing for people who say, well, hot goaltender, let me look at the teams who have the best goaltenders.
Yeah, I mean, hot goalie has always been, you know, considered the ultimate equalizer in hockey, especially in playoff hockey. But I mean, there's only to a point. When you look at teams and there's, you know, possession mismatches and shot generating mismatches. If a team is, you know, out shooting the other team, you know, 40 to 20 every game, that's just not sustainable over a 7-game series. I mean, it'll come to the better team will prevail in that sense. I mean, it's very rare that we see a goalie, you know, steal 4 games out of 7 in a series. So yeah, betting on a hot goalie is a really cool thing to do, but that's why you want to look at betting on the teams with really good goalies that also have really good teams. So like when you talk about Vegas is so deep and they're so well-structured, and they also have great goaltending with Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner. You know, it's one of the reasons why the Penguins are looking a lot scarier now, because Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith have been giving good goaltending to that team. So they're not, you know, they're not winning in spite of their goaltending. That's actually helping them. And it's also why you said you look at a team, why the Leafs and the Oilers scare me a little bit, because you don't know what you're getting out of Jack Campbell or Frederick Anderson, who's now back, or you don't know what you're getting out of the veteran Mike Smith or Mikko Koskinen, who I think is their backup. And so, you know, you look at these kind of goaltending matchups, I still want the better team first, but if the teams are very even, then I'm going to start looking, you know, which goaltender can steal me a game or two in a series, which goaltender can get hot or has been playing hot and can kind of get his team just over that extra edge, you know, in what might otherwise be a pretty evenly matched series.
When identifying teams that you might want to back for longer cup runs, how much stock do you put into we've been there before? So the Capitals, the Penguins, the Lightning, even Vegas made it to the finals right there, where there is something to having a championship pedigree. And I know Vegas didn't win the championship, but these other teams that as long as Ovechkin's there, as long as Crosby's there, as long as the Lightning have everyone there, I almost see that there's a championship pedigree and there's a way of winning where they've learned what it takes. And so often in sports, I think Edmonton would be a great example of this, that teams almost need to make the finals and lose before they can win the finals. So Vegas would actually be a great example because they previously lost. Now they know what it's like. Edmonton, yeah, they're shiny, but you've got to learn how to win in the playoffs. Whereas these teams that are a little bit more veteran laden with multiple cup wins, how much stock do you put into that? Because for me, there could be value on the Capitals or the Penguins for those reasons.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when things get tight and, you know, the spotlight is on its brightest, like it's natural for guys to grip their sticks tighter or, you know, it gets tense. And if you've been there before and you've, you know, and you succeeded through that, it's a lot easier to just take a deep breath and be like, I've got this, I've done this before. You know, it's human nature to be able to do something better when you've done it before in the past. So at the same time, you're also looking at, I want to flip that. If you take teams that have continuously struggled in the playoffs, like the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have a giant monkey on their back. And that pressure will also mean something, right? I mean, like the Leafs, the core is young with Matthews and Marner. But like these guys, like they've been known for falling up short in the playoffs and losing to Boston every time. And until you break that, it's equally tough. But when getting back to what you said about, you know, that playoff pedigree, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason you fear Crosby and Ovechkin and those guys is because, like I said, they've been there before and they've proven that they can do it before. It's also what makes a team like the Blues. I mean, they're going to be a huge underdog, but they have that pedigree too. Those are also the kind of the underdog teams you don't want to play. You know, it's one thing, you know, you look at the Wild, they're kind of young, they're upstart, they're a little, you know, they're probably a little happy to be there. Same with the Predators, they're happy to be there. They don't have a history of like those deep runs, but when you look at these teams that are a little undervalued, but when you say, hey, can I see them in the final four of the finals this year? Again, as we have in the past? Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And when you say that, yes, definitely, I can see them there. That means, you know, that does count for something.
Hold your ears, Leafs fans. The Leafs have not won a playoff series since 2004. Woof, that is a long time. So let's get to some specifics. Were there any matchups that you liked or teams that you're identifying as we sit here going into the playoffs, which is going to be starting this weekend, that can help some people right now who are listening and watching saying, all right, I want to start identifying who I might want to be betting on?
Well, I hate to say this, but it's Bruins time in the playoffs. And you know, as a Rangers fan, I mean, you're a Pens fan, we don't have any love for the Bruins, but they're, like you said, that team with the playoff pedigree. And every year around this time, it always seems like Boston's rounding into shape. And here they are doing it again. I think they're on fire right now. You know, they're picking up and they're scoring goals again. So you've got that perfection line with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak. And they are, to me, I think they are the single best forward trio in the NHL. They dominate 200 feet. But now they have a second line, you know, surprise, surprise, Taylor Hall is playing well now that he's out of Buffalo and he's playing in a winning environment. So they're driving possession. Tuukka Rask seems healthy. And I know they're the favorite as the three seed in the Capitals. There is value on them in this dog, but I just think the Bruins are rounding into shape. And when it comes time for the playoffs, when you need that physicality and you play that like that rough and tumble, and that is what Boston does. And so I think they're a team that I would start looking at them because they're primed to make a deep run. Another team I do kind of like is I am looking at the Panthers, and they got the plus money right now against Tampa Bay. And my whole thing here is they have a good chance to catch Tampa off their feet before they get fully healthy. The Panthers have been a possession machine all season. But over the last 20 games, they have a 62% Corsi 4 percentage, which means they're generating 62% of the shot chances in their games. And Tampa has not been as sharp. The Panthers are also, they went 5-2-1 against Tampa this year. So like they can beat them and they have beat them. So I think if you want to look at a dark horse team that's got the talent, you know, they got Huberdeau, they got Barkov, you know, a team that has that talent that could make a run and make you some money along the way, I think the Florida Panthers are that team. Their only question is, what do they do at goaltending? I believe Sergei Bobrovsky is going to start that series. And the question is, will Joel Quenneville stick with Bobrovsky through a bad game? Will he go to backup Chris Drieger, who's been just as good, if not better? That's the one question that scares me with the Panthers, but I think they're in a good spot to really capitalize early. And going back to our early conversation, I talked about if you do like Tampa, you can take that double with Panthers game one, Tampa the series. Another one I do also like is playing on that rust factor. The Panthers to be leading 2-1 after the first three games of the series is also a plus 160. So that's two home games for Florida and one home game for Tampa. Like I said, maybe by game four or five, the Lightning shake off that rust. If you think the Panthers can get out early and kind of jump ahead, that's another nice little plus one that you can kind of capitalize on and get in that early rush of the playoffs.
By the way, that term perfection line makes me want to throw up. Every time I hear that, they're like, here comes the perfection line. How dare you speak Mr. Perfect's name in vain? There is only one Mr. Perfect, and it is certainly not that line in Boston. And I hear you on the Boston side of things, because if there was an option for them to win their first two series, it would actually be attractive to me, because as a Penguins fan, I wanted to avoid Boston of all of the different teams, because when I look at Washington, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, and Boston, Boston's just a little bit different. As you said, they're a little rougher, and I don't exactly love what I've seen out of Washington this year. The Islanders are a team that I think you're going to see a lot of people liking the plus money with them, because one of the hardest things for me as a hockey fan to understand is how the Penguins can win three Stanley Cups under Sidney Crosby and Malkin, but at the same time have some mind-blowing playoff exits where one of the best teams, if not the best teams of the last 15 years, also can get swept in the playoffs like this. And we've seen it on a regular basis, which to me says there's always opportunity in a team getting plus money, and certainly in a matchup with the Islanders having arguably a better goalie. But the Penguins have been a team that is absolute fire at home.
Yeah, so you just took the words right out of my mouth. I think the Penguins have the league's best home record. I think that's pending a couple of the West Division games that are still yet to play. But as of right now, Penguins have the best home record in the league. And the Islanders are actually sub 500 on the road. So, I mean, you're asking the Islanders to beat the Penguins in Pittsburgh, but also asking the Islanders to hold serve at home for all three games. It is really difficult to do, especially considering the Penguins are also 6-2 against the Islanders this year. But let's just say this. I think the Islanders have the best coach in hockey. Barry Trotz is incredible, and he just gets success everywhere he goes. This Islanders team did go to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, so they have that, like, oh, they've kind of been there before factor, and they just play defense. You know, it's not just that Varlamov is a great goalie, and Ilya Sorokin's been good as the backup and the understudy, but this team just plays great team defense. I think they're second in the league in fewest goals against per game. But the thing that's going to come down here is it's going to come down to the special teams. Pittsburgh's power play is still great. I mean, you've got Crosby, you've got Letang, you got Gensel. Malkin should be back, and Malkin usually rises to the occasion in the playoffs. But the Islanders' penalty kill is also really good. So that's going to be kind of like the matchup to watch in there. I do like Pittsburgh just because of that home record, the home road imbalance in the series. But I mean, this is one I could see this going right to seven games. I mean, I could see this one going deep. I think there's going to be a lot of close games, a lot of lows. I'll be looking at the under for a lot of these games too, because the Islanders just don't play a lot of high scoring games. They like to kind of muck it up, and, you know, kind of just keep things like slow and boring and not give the talented skaters space. But I did see, I think for this to go to seven, I think it was like plus 230, which if you want to, I know we don't love exacts, but if you're going to take any series in the first round to go the distance, this is probably the one to look at. But I mean, the Islanders are just a team. They're just like that annoying team you don't want to face, right? I mean, they don't make it easy for you. They make you work hard and earn everything you're going to get. And like you said, for this whole East Division, all four teams are just going to beat each other up and batter each other. And it's going to be the most captivating division to watch, just in like how closely grouped they all are.
If we're looking at the biggest favorites, Hurricanes minus 240, Oilers minus 186, Leafs minus 275, which one should be on the most alert from an upset standpoint?
Cover your ears again, Toronto fans. I mean, I think it's probably going to be the Leafs. I think they're the best team in the North, and I think they are clearly better than Montreal. But it's Toronto, Montreal. Like, we haven't had that as a playoff series since 1979. And I think you're just, you know, the Habs are kind of they're a little surprising. They're actually a very good possession team as well. They just don't have like that top end talent that needs like to, they don't put the puck in the net. That's where they struggle to do. But what they are getting back is Carey Price is expected to be back for the playoffs. And I know he hasn't had a great season. He's been out a while, but Carey Price tends to come through in the playoffs when it matters. Coach Dominic Ducharme also said he expects Shea Weber and Brendan Gallagher and Philip Deneau back. So the Habs are going to be almost at full strength. They've got some games in for Cole Caulfield, who's kind of provide a little bit of electricity. So I think of all those big favorites, I think, you know, you're going to see that one. That's not going to be a sweep. I don't think that's going to be, you know, the Leafs just kind of push them away and go. I understand that Toronto is 7-2-1 against Montreal this year, and the Leafs have dominated the series in Toronto. But it's just like almost like a gut feeling of this one where you're looking at the history and the rivalry. I don't think the Habs are just going to lay down for Toronto. And if I think, especially, you know, if you see the Habs maybe win game one, steal game one, or it's really tight early, then, you know, you see that doubt will start to creep into Toronto too. Like, oh no, not again. Like, we got to win this. Like, all the pressure's on the Leafs, and the Habs are kind of playing with house money in this one. So when you're the more relaxed team, you can, you know, just kind of do your thing more. I do think, again, I think Toronto wins this one, but I think of those three, the Leafs are going to have the hardest time getting past their first round matchup.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you would like to add that could provide value to the listener and people watching right now, or that gives a thought on your mindset around betting these playoffs?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I think the biggest thing we do have to look at is, again, just expect a lot of close, tight games, you know, and then try to find creative ways to get your value out of these series that might be otherwise, you know, wash-offs. So, you know, you think Carolina, you know, they've dominated Nashville this year, and they've in every metric, and there's no value for them. But, you know, maybe you can grab them on a couple, you know, in-game things, or as you alluded to earlier, maybe there's a live betting opportunity. Maybe Nashville scores the first goal in game one and the odds shift a little bit, and you're like, hey, I can jump on the Panthers, or maybe, you know, one of these, or I can jump on the Hurricanes, sorry, or, you know, maybe the Predators steal game one and the series odds shift. So, like, I would just say, just because the puck drops and the series starts doesn't mean your series bets are over. You know, definitely look for some in-game or in-series betting opportunities that you can use to kind of get the favorite or get the team you like, maybe at a better price, because, I mean, that's the name of the game. And also just expect a lot of low-scoring type games. It's playoff hockey. It's going to be fast. It's going to be fun. And it's going to have you, like, screaming at the TV all the time.
Yeah, and remember, there's an opportunity for when the Lightning were down 0-2 to Columbus and all of us sitting there being like, boom, nice, easy price for me to jump on the Lightning right now. And then you can have a ticket that goes down as one of the worst bets in the history of the world. And that's actually a positive, because then you can hit us up on Twitter and let us know about it, because we all have that story where you saw the value that was so apparent. You're like, boom, of course Tampa's going to come back and win this, only for them to get swept. And that's part of the fun of betting, because we love being part of the community, especially when we think that we're smarter than the bookmakers, and then a team goes and gets swept despite being the greatest regular season team we've ever seen in the history of the world. So, Jared, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at JLHawk, H-O-C-H. Check out all of our stuff at covers.com or on Twitter at covers. We'll have plenty of, like, hockey info, hockey betting, and, like, all kinds of betting for all your sports betting needs. And yeah, find me there. Have fun.
And I want to hear from you. One, as a hockey fan, who are you rooting for and how are you getting down? I'm going to be watching all of my games. I'm going to be on Twitter, posting pictures, videos, bets, all of that different stuff, because this is my favorite time of the year. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at covers, because we love getting down with you and being part of this community. And for me, I love using the hashtag because it's the cup, because it truly is. It's the most earned title that there is. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hits you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump, put your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.